Welcome to the sermon from Silver Lake Baptist Church. Our mission is to celebrate the greatness of God with all we are for the joy, hope, and renewal of our community. We are so glad you have chosen to listen to our message. We pray you will be blessed by your time with us today.
All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your peace and your love and your hope and just always being faithful and always being true, and that we can depend on you. We can depend on your promises and depend on your heart for us. And so we just give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So obviously, heart goes out to some of those folks in California. So we actually have some friends down there and some people sending us videos, and it's like crazy how nasty it is. So keep them in your prayers. So we'll keep praying that God will turn it for their good and make a way where there doesn't seem to be no way, because he is a waymaker, right? So did I pray already?
Yes.
Okay. Well, can I not pray again?
Sure.
Okay, I was just seeing, I was like, everybody's like, oh, you can only pray once. There's a rule. Or maybe twice, when you start and when you finish, right? But anyway, I got a lot to talk about, you can see on the board. Right, that's what we're going to cover today. Last week, it's kind of on my heart. We were talking about purpose or promise. And I think it's real important for us to know that God has a purpose for us. In fact, he says in all things he works the good of those who are called to him according to his what?
Purpose,
right? So purpose is good, but his purpose is his promise, right? When he gives us a promise, we know that it's on purpose. So we can say, hey, you know what? The purpose of the promise, or the promise is the purpose, and they go hand in hand, right? And we can trust God, and we can kind of take him at his word, right? Because he still is the creator of the universe, right? Every Shabbat, they say, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. What does that mean? King of the what? King, no idea. It says, blessed are you, O Lord God, King of the universe. Right? Is the universe real? Yeah, it's real. Right? Does it work? Yeah, it has a certain way it works. Right? But guess what? There is a creator of the universe, and there is a king of the universe. And the very one who created the universe lives where?
In us.
Right? Christ where? In us is what? It's the hope of glory. So we can trust God, we can trust his purpose, and we can trust his promises, because we know in all things he works for our good, because that's a promise that it's going to work, and it's going to work on purpose. That's pretty cool, right? We have promise and we have purpose, and we know that if God is still alive, we have a choice, a chance. We have a choice, too. We have a chance. Good news for us, right? So no matter what's going on, no matter what it looks like, no matter what you feel like, we have a God who's bigger than anything that you could ever face. So you can trust him and lean on what he says over what you feel, right? Now, we talked about, I want to read this because I got sidetracked. Sometimes that happens to me. There's like so much, like it's just like so much. This God just like is so big, and this word is so true, and there's just so much life in it that it's hard to get everything to you in one, you know, in 30, 40 minutes, right? So I think we should increase the service another 2 hours, and then that'll get, why are you guys laughing? I'm serious, right? This says Colossians. Verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Over how much creation?
All.
By him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth. Watch this, visible and invisible. Right? What's he saying? When God made a promise to Abraham, he said, you're going to be the father of many nations, right? He named him Exalted Father. That was his name. He went from Abram to Abraham, and God said, you're going to be a dad. And he's like, I'm 100 years old. It's impossible. And God's like, watch. Watch me. Watch me. Watch what I'm going to do. He's a God who brings life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. You might not see a way. You might not see hope. You might not see what God's doing. But God says, I can breathe life into any situation that you need life breathed into. There's nothing too dead for a God who is life. Where is that? In the prophets, he says, can these bones live? They're bones, man. And you know what God says? Yeah, they're too far gone. If they've just been 4 days or so, that's stretching it, but I'll do it just because of Jesus. But when it's that, no, he didn't say that. He said, yeah, watch. And what happens? Snaps together and comes to life. Why? Because he is life. He took dirt and shaped it and molded it into a man, and then he breathed his life, and life was. So there is nothing in your life that's too dead. There's nothing in your life that's too impossible. There's nothing in your life that does not have hope. And there's nothing in your life that will override God's word and his promise, because he's faithful. Now watch. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. Oh man, all things, man. I love that. In all things he works for the good of those who love him and are called according to their purpose. His purpose, right? What is his purpose? To love you. His purpose is to have a relationship with you. His purpose is for you to rule and reign like him. His purpose is for you mainly to know him. Not know about him, to know him, right? I know a lot about Linda, right? I know when I drive, there's going to be an invisible brake that's going to appear on her side of the car. And it's going to go. And I promise you, this visible and invisible thing is real, because there is a brake over there. She can see it, but I cannot see it, right? But I know when I get in the car to drive, it's going to appear for her, right? So, see, I know her. I know that about her. I know what she's going to do, but do I know her? And that's the key. Do you know God, or do you just know about God? It's the difference between religion and relationship. Religion knows a lot about God, or they think they know a lot about God. They know a lot about their rules, but do they really know God or know about God? Because the more you know him, the more you know about him. Right? Before I got married, I didn't know there was an invisible brake on that side of the car. I didn't know they come like that. It's not even in like the manufacturer's book. Like, I even looked on YouTube, right? But it exists, right? But I had to have that relationship before I found out that even the invisible exists. And now I have a relationship with the one who created the universe. And he lives where? In me. And that gives me a hope no matter what. No matter where you're at, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're looking at, you have a hope. And his name's Jesus. Now watch this. Anybody know where I'm at? 16. Okay. If I can see it. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or power or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who's he talking about? Jesus. He's talking about Jesus, right? Now watch. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy, one of those words. Take your pick. And if I'm from England, it's supremacy or something like that. I don't know. I'm not from England. So from England, they don't even know how to say that. They're just kind of... You know what he's saying? I'm above all things in heaven and in earth, whether visible or invisible, whether you can see it or you can't see it, whether it looks like the biggest problem in the world, whether it's the worst report from a doctor, whether it's the worst relationship problem you ever thought you'd have. It doesn't matter. Car's breaking down all the time. It doesn't matter. He is above all things. Amen. He is supreme. He is the King. I didn't say it like it's written right here. Right? For God was pleased to have all. How much? All his fullness dwell where? Okay, so all of God's fullness dwells where? In him, right? He's got all of God. Now, what God is the creator, right? The King of the universe, the one who creates, the one who speaks life, the one who says, let there be and there is, right? He says everything, but every fullness of God himself is in where? It's in him. Everything that you need, everything that you're going to ever need, everything that you ever have needed or anybody else has needed or anybody else is ever going to need is in him. Every planet, every expanding of the stars and the clouds and the universes is in him. The fullness of God, the fullness of everything is in him. So one day I was just realizing, you know what? I'm going to the ocean with a teaspoon. Because I'm thinking, oh, well, maybe I can get a teaspoon and put it in a little bucket. You know what? If I brought a bucket, then that might overdo it on the ocean. The fish might suffocate, right? No. Like I could pull up there with a hose and a pump, and I could pump for years. And do you know what would happen? I'd never drain that thing. And that's just the ocean. Think how big God is. Because he says all the fullness of the entire universe is in him. If the ocean was as big as the entire universe, I could never even tap a teaspoon worth of it. Not my teaspoon, his teaspoon worth of it. A teaspoon worth of it would be more than I could ever imagine. That's how big God is. That's how full God is. That's how powerful God is. All the fullness of God is where, though? It's in him. Now watch this. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell where? In him. And through him to reconcile to himself good people. A few people. Reconcile what? Everything, right? When Adam sinned, what happened? Everything fell. When Jesus gave his life, what happened? Everything was restored, right? And so we know that the power of what Jesus' finished work was greater than the fall of Adam. But we give way more credit to that than we do the King of the universe, who has all the fullness in him. He said, I'm going to die just to show you that I am for you and that I love you and that I have great plans for you. That's good news. That's why it's called the gospel. Amen. Right? The Bible says the earth groans and moans for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's like all this stuff's waking up and it's saying, would you please realize who you are? Would you please realize who lives in you and whose you are? Because when you start realizing that, you're going to change this world. Things are going to start happening. Do you trust him? Do you believe him? Do you believe that that's who he is? Or do you think he's just come down as a common man and died on a cross and then rose again and then you're waiting for him to come back? Or you think you have any hope? It's part truth. He is coming back, but he wasn't no ordinary man. And he didn't say, hey, keep waiting for me to come back. He said, occupy. We have the same mandate that Adam did. Take dominion. Not like I'm not telling you to pick up arms and go shoot people. Right? Have an army. I'm going to take over. Spiritually. Does that make sense? Just so everyone knows, if you're out there and you don't like this, I'm sorry, I didn't write this. I didn't write it. I'm just reading here, right? I'm sure you get mad at Goldilocks and the Three Bears too, right? Because you don't like how that story goes. I don't think it's fair either. Right? She's breaking and entering, and they didn't even call the cops on her, right? Where am I at? Lord, help me. Where? 20, okay. Thank God you guys read. Well, what if I just ask where I'm at? Because I know where I'm at, but I want to make sure you guys know where I'm at. You will never know. And it could be both ways, by the way. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through what? Through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your what? In your what? Now, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds. Wait a second. What's he saying? You were separated from God and you were alienated from God in your minds. Now watch this again. Let me read this again. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies, where? That's supposed to be in God's mind, right? Because he was really mad after the fall. Like, he didn't want nothing to do with man. And he was just like, really? No. Do you know where we were alienated from God was? In our minds. What happened when Adam and Eve, after they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that's supposed to be a good tree, right? Then they found out they were naked, right? So what happened? Oh, I've got to do something so that God will accept me and cover me, right? All of a sudden, they became naked in front of God when the whole time they were naked. What happened? It was a change in their minds. It was in their minds, not in God's heart or in God's mind. God's mind was always for reconciliation. And according to this scripture, God said there's only one way that I could do it. Now watch this. Once you were alienated, where am I at? Which verse? 21. Okay, glad you guys got Bibles and read with me. Or we'd be still on. I could go back to 15 if you want. You want me to start over? Or did I start in 14? I don't remember. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. Whoa, do you know what that's saying? Anybody ever? Like, I used to get saved every week. When I was in high school, I needed to do it every day. But I only had, like, they had this youth rallies, and we would go once a month, and once a month I'd get saved again. You know why? Because I discovered I wasn't perfect. And even when I didn't mess up in my actions, I was messing up in my mind. And I was like, I can't do this. Because God says, I read where it says, if you're guilty of one little thing, you're guilty of all of it under the law. Like, there was no hope for me. And I was like, I'm sunk. I just hope I live long enough to make it to the next CA rally. And then one day my dad comes up to me and goes, hey, son. I was like, yeah. He goes, how many times do you think you need to get saved? I was like, Dad, I probably need to get saved every minute, every day, because I suck. And that's the word I use. My dad laughed. He's like, don't you know you have security in Jesus? Don't you know that that's what he died for? Don't you know that you're not separated because of your thoughts or your actions? You're separated because of you thinking that you're separated and not resting in his finished work. You know what that did to me? It took me another 10 years to figure out. And I'm still trying to figure it out. To this day. One thing I know in whom I have believed. And I am sure that he's able to keep me. Not me keep me, but him keep me. My faith no longer in what I do or my behavior. My faith in his finished work. And when I rest in his finished work, you know what happens? My behavior changes. Do you know why? Watch this. Remember, we go, it's head, heart, and then that's not a baseball glove, that's a hand. Can you see it? Head, heart, hands. I can't spell those other two words, that's why I drew that. Going back to pictographs. Right? Head, heart, hands. You believe. Right? Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
Hearing in your ears. Where's your ears? In your head. The hearing produces thoughts. As a man thinks, where? Your thoughts drop down to your heart. So is he. And then as your hearts believe you are, is your action, right? But I want to add a few things, because where does the faith come from? Where does the head part come from? It comes from something called influence. Faith comes from hearing, but so does doubt. Fear comes from hearing. Doubt comes from hearing. What are you allowing to influence you? Is it the news? Because I promise, if you are, we can set you up with counseling. Because you're going to need it. Right? Is it your friends? Is it your situations? Is it what you're going through? Is it the mountain you're looking at? Jesus said you can say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and it'll happen. What are you allowing to influence what you're thinking? Because what you allow to influence you influences what you're thinking. And what you're thinking drops into your heart. And it's kind of stacked weird anyway, because they say that we only operate on 5% consciousness. 95% of the things we do is from the subconscious. And they say that 75% of that is negative. It's stuff that's been influenced into our thinking since we were little kids. Some people is way worse and some people is way better. So I think 75%, it should go by person. So like one person might be 95% negative. Another person might be 35% negative, but it's still, I think it's relative. I don't think you can, you know, just can everybody in that, right? But the point being is when we listen to God's word and we listen to what he's saying and we hear his heart for us, you know what happens? It influences our thinking and then it drops into our heart. And I also believe that the psychologists don't take into account Jesus and his ability to work in us. Maybe in the flesh, we don't have as much hope, but in Christ Jesus, we become a new creation. Amen. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. So we are new from the inside out. Our old patterns, our old thinking, our old stuff. Sometimes they want to pop up. Guess what? It's called the flesh, man. Sometimes we battle the flesh. But guess what? It's not you. That's not you. The real you is who God says you are. What do you want to believe? What's influence in your life? Just doesn't go with that. I wrote notes. You're welcome. We have influence. That makes us think. And then how we think creates emotions. Right? We're influenced, then we think, and then it makes us have emotions, right? So they say, there's fires in California, but that can happen in Oregon too. And I live in Oregon, so I better, oh my gosh. So now what happened? You were influenced, you heard it. And now you're thinking, and thinking that thought creates an emotion. Kind of scary when you think about it, right? And then what does the emotion create? A decision. And that creates an action. Here's what I love about the scriptures. Because the Bible says choose. Guess what choose is? Choose. So it's kind of, it's not chose, it's choose. I ran out of it. Hey, I'm not an artist or a pen master. Is there even such a thing as a pen master? Kind of. Choose. Choose this day whom you're going to serve. As a student of Bible, you know what he says? As for me and my house, we're going to watch the news and whatever they say. No? For me and my house, I went to college and I got a degree. And my professor said this. For me and my house, I had this preacher that told me that I was a rotten sinner and there is no hope and I had to be perfect. No. As for me and my house, we will serve what?
The Lord.
The great I am. It comes from choosing. Influence, thinking, and emotion. Now, when you think, you can be thinking something, and you'll have an emotion with it, right? Like if I walk up and I walk up to my wife and I say, "I love you," or "I love you." How do you think she's going to receive those first two? she's going to put it on the brake. That's right. And it won't be invisible. It'll probably be like something. She'll be like, pop! Right? What's the matter with you? And I go, hey, baby. I love you. Do you see the difference? Or, I need help. Like, you go, I need help. Desperation. Or, I need help. Get over here right now. Or say, hey, dude, could you please come help me? Thoughts, emotions, and you can see, is your influence coming from what God says? Are you thinking? He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. But when you have his influence, then you start learning what his thoughts are. And when you start, oh, he loves me so much. That's so good. Oh, man. Rather than, you know, God loves you, but he's a cruel, cruel master. Right? And they're like, God loves me. As long as I'm perfect. Do you really believe? And are you really going to act on the promise that God loves you? Because you don't believe that. How could you ever believe that a mean person like that loves you? You don't. Only when you're good. And that is not love. That's codependency and all kinds of other psychological problems. And that's a schizophrenic God, and that's not my God. He's a God that loves me completely. Does that make sense? So, am I going to allow what God says to influence me and his promises? Am I going to think, meditate? That's what meditating on his word. You know what I'm doing? I'm chewing the cud. I said, in all things, God works for my good. This ain't a good situation, but God said he's working this for my good. So no matter what it looks like, he's still the God of the visible and the invisible. So just because I can't see it doesn't mean it's not possible or it's not going to happen. Right? Then I think about it. I remember when King David, like all his people, like were mad at him because like they stole all their kids and wives and their stuff, and they had been off doing something they shouldn't have done. And so David, the Bible says David cried, fell on the floor and says, I'm a rotten sinner. There's no hope for us. Just kill me. No, he didn't. You know what he did? It says he encouraged himself in the Lord. He got alone. Everybody's wanting to kill him. Everybody's mad at him. Everybody doesn't see a way. But he says, you know what I'm going to go do? I'm going to go remember who my influencer is. I'm going to remember who my King of Kings is. And I'm going to allow him to speak into my life. I think it's funny they call these social media people influencers. And I don't think it could be any closer to the truth. It's exactly what it is. It can be good influence. And it can be influence that you can discern that I really don't want that influence in my life. Doesn't matter. It is what it is. I'm going to do what they want to do. I'm just going to discern whether I want that in my life or not and move on. They said, you know what? What do you say, Daddy? What is the one who helped me kill the lion and the bear? The one who helped me kill Goliath? The one who I killed tens of thousands? What do you say? What do you say? And you know what God said? Just let him kill you, dude. You come see me and it's over. You really messed up. No, he said, pursue. For you shall overcome them and without fail recover all. And you know what happened? They did. There's a dude in the Bible too. David depended on the influence of and the encouragement from God. He's seen the victories from his past. And he meditated on the promises that God had on his life. And it caused him to believe in God. and it showed in his emotions, and he made a decision. Who am I going to serve this day? And guess what? He took the action from the influence in trust and in peace. So there's this dude in the Bible. You guys might have heard of him. His name's Jesus. Anybody ever hear of Jesus? So in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, it says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" It's a good question. Who do people say the Son of Man is? I woke up from a dream the other day and God told me I seen this wolf howling and these wolves running around howling. And God said, "It's not what we howl, it's what we say." I was like, "What in the world?" So I looked up. What does howling mean? You know what wolves do? They have an instinctual appetite to howl. They'll howl at the moon. They'll howl for mating rituals. They'll howl to get everything. And it's all pure instinct. They're going off instinct. You know what? Really? It's an animal thing. And that's what we do. We howl, "Oh God, oh God." And you know what we're doing? We're doing it out of instinct and not out of promise. Trusting the purpose of God to turn all things for our good. We're trying to it's, a lot of times it's almost like we're trying to manipulate God into feeling sorry for us enough so he'll answer our prayer. And he's already said, "All my promises, they're yes and amen." Do you know what the howl is? It's shallow. It's a shallow howl. We can make a movie. Shallow howl. Are you trusting in the flesh, in the instincts? I think there is something spiritual sometimes to the wolves, though. But there's a lot of instinct in there where we're made in God's image and in his likeness. He said, "You can say to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast in the sea.' If you believe, where? Your heart. It'll be done. Not what you howl, but what you see, because your howl is shallow. The way you say has a depth and fullness of the King of the universe backing you up." Huge difference. "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say you're John the Baptist." They still don't know who Jesus is. Some say he's a good teacher. Some say he didn't exist. Some say, "Who was Jesus? Who's Jesus? Who is he?" "Oh, well, he come and died for us, and it's good. And he's coming back again someday. But unless you're perfect, you don't want to be stuck when he comes back feeding the dogs. Because you miss the rapture. Because like maybe you messed up right as you come back. That was a real fear for me when I was a kid. I didn't even have any dogs to feed when I was a kid." "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." But Jesus is like, he's like, no. I know they say this. I know. But what do you say? Do you say that situation's bigger than my promise? Do you say that situation's bigger than me, Christ in me? The fullness of God completely living in me, the creator of the universe who lives in me and works through me can't fix this little bitty problem when he said, "Let there be," and there was. Who do you say that I am? He's like, let's bring it what are others saying about me? And then he's like, no, but what do you say? Because he's like, oh, well, they say this, but I think you this. I know who you are. Now watch. But what about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? And I think it's funny because the answer's in the question. Who do you say I am? Because he is a great I am. The beginning and the end and everything in the middle. Now watch this. Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, Peter's like, I know who you are. So I quit fishing. Are you kidding me? I'm a fisherman. I love to fish. Like, I wouldn't be following you if I didn't know who you were. You're the one that is the promise himself. I know who you are. You're the Son of the living God. You're the creator of the universe. I know who you are. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon Bar, son of Jonah, which is really cool because earlier in the scripture, he's talking about the Pharisees, and he said they're always looking for a sign because Jesus said, you look in the sky and it's red in the morning, you're like, it's going to storm, or if it's red at night, it's not, or whatever. I don't remember all that stuff. It's like the coral snakes in Florida. It's red touches yellow, you're okay, fellow. Red touches black, you're okay, Jack. I just like, why do you even want to touch him? Just don't touch him. Like, that simple. But then he goes and he says they're looking for signs. And he's like, we're not to follow signs. Signs follow us. And he said the only sign they're going to see is the sign of Jonah. And now he's saying, blessed are you, Simon Peter. Simon, because I'm going to change your name. Simon, son of Jonah. Watch this. For this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. Where was his influence coming from? Maybe not on the outside, but what if it's in his heart? You know, God lives in us. You know, he speaks directly to our heart. And I tell you, that you are Peter, you're the rock, and on this rock I will build my church. Not on the rock that his name's Peter, but on the truth that he is Jesus. He is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. That is a foundation that we rest on. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And I will give the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone. And I'm out of time. It's 1:00. Somewhere. Who do you say he is? Do you want to know him? Or do you just want to know about him? Do you want your life to just be trying to be like a rat on a treadmill? Or do you want to be a son of the Most High God? Because as he is, so are you in this world. He sees you. You're perfect. You don't always do perfect things, but you're perfect. I look at my kids and I'm like, oh, they're so perfect. Someone else looks at them and they're like, those are rotten heathens. They're perfect. I love them just like they are. I don't like everything they do, but they're perfect. And that's how he thinks about you. Amen? So, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your hope. We just give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to learn more about us, check out our website at www.silverlakebaptist.org.